The last time that Jacob saw his brother Esau, his brother wanted to kill him for two reasons. First of all, because Jacob had stolen Esau's birthright. Esau had come to him out of the field, starving half to death. And Jacob took advantage of the situation to blackmail his brother and to take away the rights and the privileges that belonged to him because he was the firstborn. And second of all, because Jacob also stole Esau's blessing. He had tricked his father Isaac. He had taken advantage of his blindness to make Isaac think that he was his brother, putting hair on his arms and his neck so that he would be hairy like his brother, and bringing food his mother had prepared just the way that his father liked. And Isaac, thinking that Jacob was Esau, blessed him and gave him everything that he intended to give to his older son. So for these reasons, then, Esau was understandably angry with his brother. And we hear in Genesis 27, "Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, 'The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob.'" And so the only thing that Jacob could do in this situation was to run. And so he fled away to the north, to Padan Aram, to be with his relatives. Because at least while he was there, he would be safe. At least while he was there, Esau could not find him and kill him. But that was all 20 years ago. And Jacob is now coming home. And he's wondering, are things going to be different than they were before? Because things were certainly different for Jacob. On the one hand, he now had a family. Jacob had gone up to his relatives alone. But now he was coming back with his wives and his 12 children, to say nothing of the many servants which he had. And Jacob was also a wealthy man now. He had gone to the north with nothing but the clothes on his back and the staff in his hand. And now he was leading forth many possessions and great flocks of sheep and goats and all sorts of things. God had made Jacob a very wealthy man. But most importantly, Christians, Jacob himself was different. He was no longer the lying, cheating thief that he had been before. He now followed after God. He looked to the Lord in everything and trusted in him above all things. So yes, Jacob was certainly a different man. Would things be different now when he meets his brother? But that was the question that Jacob was wrestling with. Had things changed at all? And so he sent messengers to his brother when he heard that he was coming to meet him. And those messengers came back and they said, not only was Esau coming to meet them, but he was also bringing 400 men with him. So it seems like things had not changed at all. It seemed like Esau was still angry. Why else would he come with an army behind him? And what could Jacob do in a situation like this? I mean, Esau had 400 men, all trained soldiers. And Jacob was leading women and children. What could he do in a situation like that? And so in his fear, Jacob made some plans. He divided out his possessions and his family into different groups, figuring that if Esau attacked the one, at least the rest could still get away. And in his fear, Jacob also sent animals in front of him, more than 500, hoping to bribe his brother, hoping to buy him off so that he would no longer be angry. And most of all, in his fear, Jacob decided that he would come last of all, that he would send everything else in front of him in the hopes that Esau would somehow be appeased, that everything would be made right because he would have all of these other things in front of him. Yes, Jacob was afraid, and he wasn't quite sure what to do. Would things be different than they were before? But now at this point, Christians, Jacob does something that he had not done before. Jacob prays. And I want you to see just how important that is. Because up to this point in the book of Genesis, Jacob has never prayed. He made an oath to God once, but that wasn't the same. But now, in his fear, he turns to the Lord and he calls on him in prayer. You have done so much good for me, Lord. I am not worthy of all of the blessings that you have given to me. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. Have you not promised to do good to me, Lord? Deliver me, I pray, from the hands of my brother. And Christians, God did answer that prayer, but not in the way that Jacob expected at first. Because on that same night, Jacob wrestled with God. God came down and got into a wrestling match with Jacob that lasted until the morning. And when the morning came, Jacob refused to let go of God until he blessed him. And God did bless him. And God gave Jacob a new name. We're told, Genesis chapter 32, that God said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." So now Jacob was no longer Jacob. He was no longer the same man that he was before. He was now Israel, he who strives with God. And by changing his name, God showed that he had also changed Jacob's heart. Jacob was now a new man in the eyes of the Lord in a way that he had not been even before. He walked with God so that it no longer mattered how Esau reacted. What mattered was that Jacob had seen God face to face and had been delivered. Jacob was a new man. And what a difference it made, Christians, in the life of Jacob. Because now he doesn't carry out his original plan. He had already sent the animals away, yes. He couldn't do anything about that. But he could change what he would do next. So instead of coming up from behind everything else, he goes out in front instead. Verse 3, we're told, "He himself went on before them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times, until he came near to his brother." So he was ready to meet Esau face to face, and he was ready to leave the results of it entirely in the hands of God. He would go to his brother and leave the details to the Lord. But God also answered Jacob's prayer again, because when Jacob met his brother, he was not only delivered out of his hand, but he found him as a brother once more. Esau came to him and hugged him and kissed him, and they wept together. They had been reconciled to one another. God had changed the heart of Esau too, so that his murderous rage was entirely gone. Now the two brothers could be one. God had brought them together again. And even the animals that Jacob sent now had a different purpose. They were no longer a bribe, but a gift. He says in verse 10, "No, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand. For I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me." So God has dealt graciously with me, brother, and I will also deal graciously with you. They had been joined together once more, despite being divided for 20 years. And Christians, do we find ourselves estranged with someone else? Do we find ourselves in a broken relationship with someone else? And it doesn't have to be quite as drastic as this, where one brother is threatening to kill another one. But have our sins caused us to be divided from another person? This is not a good place to be, Christians. And it's not right for us to just leave it that way and to stay there. God calls for us to be united, not divided. And yes, I know it can be hard. I mean, the division sometimes runs very deep. Too many things have been said, too many things have been done, and we wonder how someone could ever be reconciled with us. How is it possible to bring us together again? Well, we can't just ignore it, pretending as if it doesn't exist, because how does that solve anything? And we can't try to buy our way out of it either, using the things of this world in an attempt to mend that broken relationship. That's not going to work. Rather, what we must do is to first seek after God, because there is true reconciliation in Him. We must come to Him and humble ourselves before Him. Because in reality, Christians, if there is a sin against our brother, it's because we first sinned against the Lord. As John says, 1 John 2, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. We must first be reconciled to God, to come to Him and to confess our sins, to turn towards Him and seek forgiveness in His Son, Jesus Christ. And having been reconciled to God, we can then pray. Pray for the one whom we have hurt. Pray for the one who has hurt us. Pray that we would be reconciled. Pray that God would heal that relationship with them. Because we will then be one not only with the Lord, but also with one another. But what if they don't forgive me? We might ask. What if I go through all of this? What if I do everything that I'm supposed to do and nothing changes? What am I supposed to do then? Well, we should still keep on praying. We should still seek to be reconciled and to not give up. As Paul says in Romans 12, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Let your conduct as a Christian be a witness to them. And God may very well use what you are doing as the way of bringing them around so that they will be reconciled to you. But remember above all, Christians, that it is God who changes hearts. Jacob, after all, was the only one who prayed. Esau did not pray. And yet because of Jacob's prayer, God changed the heart of Esau too. If He can change your heart, He can also change theirs. So be patient and trust in Him. But above all, keep seeking after God, because true unity is to be found in his Son, Jesus Christ. As Paul says in Ephesians 2, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." Because when we are joined to Jesus, we will also be joined to one another, because we are one body in him. So Christians, turn to God. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Seek true unity and true peace with one another. And the God of love and peace will be with you through all things. Let us pray. Most Holy Trinity, make us one with each other, just as you are one, so that all the world may know that we belong to you by the love that we have for each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.